time for a deep dive into the one issue that matters most in a capitalist democracy, money. This is Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money, a joint production of the Maggie Dawn Show and the Patriotic Millionaires. Now, let's start talking money.
What's up, y'all? My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It's 3 o'clock, and that means it is time for Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money. I'm so excited, very humbled to have my next guest join me. Her name is Fatima Goss Graves. She is a nationally recognized leader in the fight for gender justice and an expert in law, policy, and culture change. She is the president and CEO of the National Women's Law Center and a co-founder of the Time's Up Legal Defense Fund. We've been talking about all of the ways that workers in this country have not been getting a fair shake. And it's all the more important, or just as important, to talk about how that failure to ensure that workers get a fair shake bears out for women, and especially women of color. So Fatima, welcome. I'm so happy to have you. Can you just start by telling us a bit more about the National Women's Law Center and what kind of work that you and your team do?
So the National Women's Law Center fights for gender justice, and we do it in the courts, we do it in our public policy and in our society, and we do it really at every level of government. We see ourselves as working to advance the rights of women, girls, of LGBT people. And our work ranges from innovative research to litigation to powerful storytelling to very serious advocacy to change our laws and policies at every level. So people can check out our website at nwlc.org to see all the good work we do. But I'm just so glad to be with you today, well, talking about my favorite issues.
Yes, they are my favorite issues as well. As a woman who worked in white shoe law and on Wall Street, I heard so many times that I wasn't going to get an assignment because I might get married and pregnant. I knew men who were bonused at levels far exceeding mine, though I worked many more hours. Now, those are nice problems to have because I was earning a big fat wage anyways, but certainly I think many women have their own stories to tell, and I appreciate your fidelity, not just to the data analytics, but the storytelling. I have the sense that a lot of folks today think that the gender pay gap is a thing of the past. You know, it's sort of like when Obama got elected, it was like, oh, well, racism isn't a problem anymore. But that is simply not the case. How bad is the gender wage gap in America today?
Yeah, we're not in a post-racial society. And the news flash is, if we have a President Harris, we won't be in a post-gender society either. The truth is that the pay gap is pretty dramatic. And the idea of undervaluing the work that women do, and that is really what's at the heart of the gender pay gap. It happens in nearly every occupation. And unfortunately, for the first time in 20 years, this last round of data show that the wage gap is actually widening. And that backsliding is especially big for Black women and for Latina women in this country.
I'm really sad to say I am not surprised to hear that. What is causing the gap?
So, there are a bunch of different factors that make up the gap. And for many years, people tried to disprove it. They tried to do all these studies to show there wasn't really a pay gap. The good news is people have stopped doing that and really started to laser in on how we fix it. So some of what causes the pay gap is maybe what you talked about, is the fact that women are more likely to be caregivers and they face a real penalty the moment they become parents. And that's been well documented, that the penalty that mothers face, that they make less upon that. And actually fathers make more, right? They get sort of a pay bump. So that's one of the factors that widens the pay gap. Some of it is that women are more likely to be concentrated in jobs that pay lower wages. They're the overrepresented in minimum wage jobs, underrepresented in many of the highest paid fields. But that is like good old fashioned pay discrimination, paying people less, even though they're doing the same thing, because you can, because there's so much secrecy and you can get away with it. And so all of that mixed up together means that we have a pay gap that's longstanding. But the thing that worries us is that in the aftermath of Roe being overturned, coming out of a pandemic, the fact that it has widened, and that should be an alarm bell for everyone.
An alarm bell that everyone should be heeding as well. I think the fact that underlying all of this in many ways is just straight up pay discrimination. And frankly, women not being taught to self-advocate, to ask for more, to demand more. And this is, you know, there's lots of statistics that prove that up. But I wanted to lean into, Fatima, the role that race plays in the pay gap and these dynamics that we were talking about. How are women of color faring in our jobs economy as compared to everybody else?
It really is disproportionately worse for many groups of women of color. For Black women who work full-time year-round, when their wages are compared to white men, their wage gap is only 66 cents on the dollar, or they make only 66 cents on the dollar, which is down from almost 70 cents. So we have seen a big backslide. For Latina women, it's 58 cents. That's the same for Native women. And white women make 80 cents on the dollar. So it's not like we should just be celebrating where white women are in terms of the pay gap either. We're in a place where it also translates to staggering losses over the course of a career. So those cents mean that for Latina women, they lose about $1.2 million over the course of their career.
It really has a direct impact on, again, being able to make sure that your kids do a little bit better than you can. And one of the things, this is just my own editorial here, Fatima, it has always been a source of deep frustration for me as someone who considers herself a feminist, that the majority of the benefit of the gender equity movement going back to the 60s accrued to white women, right? And there wasn't enough focus and advocacy and lifting up of women of color. And we see that in those staggering numbers. I want to shift to asking you about policies that could help shrink the gender pay gap. And folks, if you're just joining us, my special guest is Fatima Goss-Graves, a nationally recognized leader in the fight for gender justice and an expert in law, policy, and culture change. She's the president and CEO of the National Women's Law Center, which fights for gender justice in the courts and in public policy. You can find out more about what they do at nwlc.org. Fatima, what are some of the solutions?
So first, we have to make sure that women's wages go up. It is a big deal that women make up about two-thirds of those in the lowest paid. And the minimum wage has not been raised in nearly 20 years. And for tipped workers, they haven't seen a boost in far, far longer. So raising the threshold would go a long way. The other thing is we got to make it more possible for women to do actually what they're already doing already, but taking a hit, which is both work and engage in care. So investing in high quality, affordable childcare, ensuring there's things like paid leave, ensuring that caregivers don't experience discrimination, protecting against pregnancy discrimination, people who get pregnant on the job and know that right away they're not going to get a promotion, that they might lose their job. We shouldn't still have that as a problem, but it's a problem that women fear constantly, and it shows up in their pay. And then the last thing that I'm just going to name is, women need to ask for more at the job, for sure. They need to demand more. But it is really hard to negotiate your way out of the pay gap, because most of that information lies with employers. We have to increase pay transparency so that the playing field is level. People are less likely to discriminate when there is some sunlight and they know that other folks will know exactly how they're paying.
Yeah, having spent 15 years in government, I respected the heck out of the fact that you could look up the salary of anybody that I worked with, from the lowest paid worker to the highest paid worker. It was all out there in the public. And that does. Transparency always brings a level of accountability. You mentioned childcare and the fact that women overwhelmingly provide the vast majority of whether it's childcare, elder care, all this massive care economy. What should we be doing? I know you mentioned a few things from an employer accountability standpoint, but what should we be doing to address really the care crisis in this country? That work goes largely unpaid or grossly underpaid. It's incredible to me.
Yeah, I mean, the truth is, our care economy has largely been the invisible and underpaid labor of women, and it's not working anymore. And it's no secret that childcare and also elder care are tremendously expensive. Families can't afford them. And women are most likely the ones that end up sacrificing their careers, their wages to handle this unacknowledged caregiving for their family. And so we can actually invest in it. We can invest in it like it is the infrastructure that both powers our families and allows them to be stable, but powers our economy too. And we're going to have a big opportunity, I believe, next year when there is a big tax conversation around what to do as tax cuts expire, how to make the tax code fairer, to also talk about where are we as a country planning to invest. And I just will posit that investing in the care economy, the care that mostly women do, would be transformative for families, for the economy, and for women's pay and dignity.
Couldn't agree with you more. How about a tax credit for women who are taking care of people in their homes or elder care? It's the very least we can do. It is as important as bridges, tunnels, and roads. My special guest this half hour for Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money is Fatima Goss Graves, a nationally recognized leader in the fight for gender justice, CEO of the National Women's Law Center, and a co-founder of the Time's Up Legal Defense Fund, which provides legal and media support to individuals who have been subject to workplace sexual harassment. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're in the 3 o'clock hour. So that means it's Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money. Really excited to have my guest today joining us. Her name is Fatima Goss Graves. She is the president and CEO of the National Women's Law Center, which fights for gender justice in the courts and in public policy. And she's a co-founder of the Time's Up Legal Defense Fund, which provides legal and media support to individuals who have been subject to workplace sexual harassment. On a personal note, Fatima, I just want to say thank you so much for the work that you do to help close the gender pay gap and advocate for women in the workplace. It means a lot to me as a woman who's experienced sexual harassment and pay discrimination. So thank you on a very personal level. We were talking about the care economy before we went to break. And I hear all the time, especially from conservatives, that we can't afford to make these kinds of investments in the care economy. What's your response to that?
And my response is, I don't see how we can afford to ignore it. And so we learned during the pandemic exactly how fragile our care economy is. We know what's coming. Every year, more families are having babies. Every year, more people are turning 65. More people are becoming disabled. We have to address this problem before it crashes down on us. And we know that we can raise the money to actually make these investments real by taxing the wealthiest individuals and mega corporations who've had it kind of too good too long at the expense of women and families. And I think people understand that it is unfair for the wealthiest corporations to not pay their fair share, why we're relying on underpaying women, largely women of color, or having women try to do it all as our public infrastructure for childcare. So we can make the investments in childcare, in aging care, in paid family and medical leave, in disability care, so that all of us can get what we need and deserve.
Yeah, I'm going to get the exact statistic wrong, but we spend something in the ballpark of like $500 to $600 per child as a society on care. And in other developed westernized countries, it's north of 15,000 per year. I mean, that sort of says it all. It's something that is considered to be too important to not accomplish in so many other countries. And yet we've simply shifted the burden of providing this care or left it with women, again, as you point out, rightly so, largely unpaid. We've talked briefly this half hour about the minimum wage. It's important for people to understand, how are women especially impacted by the minimum wage, as well as tipped workers and disabled workers who are exempted from the standard minimum wage?
Yeah, I think most people have not focused on the fact that the federal minimum wage has remained unchanged for almost two decades. Yeah. And that is shocking when you think of the millions of workers, mostly women, disproportionately women of color, who are struggling to support themselves and support their families on what is basically at this point poverty level wages. It's not a minimum wage, it's a poverty wage. Yes. And for those who are in tipped occupations, the fact that they do not have one fair wage, only a handful of states actually ensure that they can have the same minimum wage as other workers, is an abomination. And so we need to raise the minimum wage, and we need to ensure that tipped workers have one fair wage. I'll just say one more thing about it, and that is, there has been so much research that has studied the impact of state and local minimum wage increases. And what they have found is that they consistently boost incomes for workers and their families, and that they don't cost jobs. We are underpaying people for no good reason.
We are underpaying people for no good reason. So says Fatima Goss-Graves, CEO of the National Women's Law Center and co-founder of the Time's Up Legal Defense Fund. Hear, hear. Given that you are co-founder of the Time's Up Legal Defense Fund, the last question I wanted to ask you this afternoon, Fatima, is your comments about the incredibly detailed and shocking to some criminal allegations that were levied just this past month against Sean Combs, otherwise known as P. Diddy.
Yeah, it is shocking. And I think people have to sit with the idea that the level of abuse and violence was allowed to be really present and known. You have now have all these people coming forward with what they knew at the time. The music industry really hasn't had their public reckoning. And I think people believe that there are some people who are too powerful for important things to happen. And what I would say is, it doesn't matter who you are. If you are facing the most famous person in the world with their billions of dollars, or the person who no one knows their name, but they still abuse what little power they have, we see you, we're connected, and we're gonna fight to ensure that all survivors have justice and dignity and healing. And that's what we're going to do in every setting, whether you're famous or not. And I am hopeful that the many people who have been affected will find some measure of justice and healing. And I want to make sure people know we run the Time's Up Legal Defense Fund still, and you can find out information on our website about it, including if you've experienced harassment or violence at work. We can connect you with attorney information and more.
That is Fatima Goss-Graves, again, president and CEO of the National Women's Law Center and a co-founder of the Time's Up Legal Defense Fund. You can find out more or reach out for help at nwlc.org. Thank you so much. As women, we can stand even in the face of the most wealthy, most powerful men in this country and demand that our rights be respected. Again, my personal thanks to you, Fatima, for all you've done.
Thanks for listening to Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money, a joint production of Civic Media and the Patriotic Millionaires. For more information, go to patrioticmillionaires.org and be sure to tell your friends. The Patriotic Millionaires buy advertising across a number of Civic Media stations.